Hey guys, welcome to Alice Eats the Apple. I'm your host, Carrie Walker, and I have a guest today that is just fascinating. It has been my pleasure to get to know this man over the last few years, and his skill set is really cool. So he is an astral traveler. He goes out into the multiverse, different dimensions, timelines, and he meets some of the most incredible people, I guess. And not only that, he teaches other folks how to do it. And so he will astral travel in groups, and they come back and they compare notes, and I don't know, it's just really, really cool stuff. So he's written two books. He's working on his third book. One of them is Real, this is number two, Real Alien Worlds. And so this is a brief encyclopedia of who you meet when you're out there. Pretty cool stuff. So listen in, write questions. We will definitely have him on the show again. So maybe he can do a Q&A next time with you guys. Anyway, all right. I hope you enjoy it. How are you, David?
Hello. How are you, Carrie?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's nice to have you back.
Yeah, it's great to be with you again. I'm here in London on a damp day, and I have your lovely company, so everything's sunny with me. Thank you.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Well, okay, so I went back and I looked at the old shows that we did on Joyride Show, and I think we did our first one September of 2016. That's almost 3 years now.
Wow.
That, I know.
That is getting on. That is getting on.
That is getting on. It is getting on. And there's just so much information out there. So David, for those of you who don't know him, you just go back and look at the list, because we have the same playlist that we had before. So you can find a lot of his backstory and a lot of incredible things he does. He is the astral traveler. But that's like just scratching the surface. He's written two books, and I think I gave my other one away. This is one of them. And so Real Alien Worlds, a brief encyclopedia. It's not that brief, by the way. I mean, it's pretty dense. But basically what you do is you astral travel out into, I want to say space, but I think you go quite beyond that, and you come back and you report on who you talk to and who all is out there. And you can probably say that a lot better than I can. So let's just catch folks up real quick.
Well, the book that you've given away is called The Great Simulator. Mm-hmm. And the subject of that is looking into, some people say we're living in a kind of matrix virtual reality or some kind of illusion. And what we find is when we do this astral traveling thing, we're projecting our consciousness beyond this physical world we're experiencing it, and taking it beyond that illusion, beyond that matrix, and seeing what's on the other side. And perhaps if we want, we can drop down into other realities. So what I do is help people without the aid of drugs or doing weird things and poisoning themselves, learn how to step out of this reality and explore some of the other dimensions that are out there. So the Great Simulator book is saying, yes, it turns out we are all experiencing an amazing illusion. And that Encyclopedia of Alien Worlds, it's a thick book, but it hardly covers them. There's so much out there. It just touches the surface on what there is, shows you what you could do if you did use some of these astral travel techniques and go and see what the neighbors are like. Say hi to them, see how they live and get to know what they're like. So you can do that, or you can go straight up into the heavens and you can go and say hello to your deceased relatives or some unborn children and meet some guiding spirits who are watching over you but you don't normally see. All of these things are options for you to do. And what I do with people is just take you through the simple steps that make it possible. So this is all fun.
Yeah. How, I mean, I know I know how you got here. And again, I think we have so far to go that but I want to ask you a question. It is, how did you find out you could do this? I know that you discovered hypnosis, but prior to that, were you psychic? I mean, do those two things have to go hand in hand?
To begin with, I was a bit dysfunctional. And what had happened was I had a lot of natural sensitivity, but I didn't know how to control it. And the result was that my body kind of just shut it down. So my life was one where I could sense less than average from a lot of people. So I couldn't sense other people very well in school. I couldn't sense the other kids properly. So I'd be making all sorts of social faux pas and blundering along. And I thought, life is really difficult. But anyway, I knew that these things were possible, but I wasn't showing any obvious skill in it. And then the hypnosis link came in. One day I was reading a book on self-hypnosis, and in something like the second to last page, it explained that if someone was in a very relaxed state, they could go out of body and they could meet deceased relatives and guiding spirits who tell them useful stuff. When I read that, I thought, that's for me. I got to learn how to do this. So I kept reading up on it and trying things, and bit by bit, I muddled my way through and actually learned how to get it done. And once I got a link with some guides, they started to take over my teaching and showed me how to do it a lot more smoothly, a lot more easily. So I was in business. We were away. That was the short version of how we got there, from nothing to possible.
Yeah, but most folks that astral travel, they just sort of cruise around, or they remote view. Isn't that sort of the same thing?
What do you mean by cruise around?
Well, you leave your body and you may go to the ethers, but it seems that there's not a lot of control with it, where you go, the destination. I don't know if you have to kind of know where you're going first. It's sort of like saying, hey, where you want to go in Houston. Well, if you've never been here, then you don't know where to go. So I think there are two components to that. How do you know where to go, and you can actually control it?
Well, let's talk about the practicalities of this a little bit more. There are a couple of ways of getting this astral projection to work. Now, the route I tried is the one where you go to sleep, but don't go to sleep. You try and get your body to go to sleep, but you see if you can keep your mind awake. And that results in you floating out, and you might say cruising around your locality a bit and bumping into stuff. But it didn't connect me very well to guiding spirits. The other version of doing this is the one where people take various forms of drugs that shut down a lot of the sort of heavy perception of Earth and allow you to float out. And if you do that, you float out all over the place, very much out of control in most instances. And the result of that is you often don't know where you're ending up. It's a bit of a random journey. The type of experience I ended up being trained how to do was one where I bumped into guiding spirit number one, and guiding spirit number one introduced me to a few more. And bit by bit, they taught me how to do these things in a controlled way, where you don't send your body to sleep, you don't put weird drugs into it. What you do is get your body in a very settled state. And I'll give you an analogy. On your computers, you probably have antivirus and firewalls which turn off lots of stuff. Well, if you antivirus and firewalls which block out lots of stuff. If you can stop blocking out stuff and put your mind into a really quiet state and just breathe well and energize nicely, you can start to see other things. You can start to see into other worlds, and off you go. Yeah. that has a bit of familiarity with some remote viewing techniques, but when you do it well, you can really get into other worlds, and then it all becomes quite fun. So the difference, what we're saying here, is stay fully awake and do it in the company of some guides and some other beings who can help you out from the other side and get rid of that getting lost and bumping around rather erratically. Does that make some sense as I explain it?
No, it does. That's a great way, and I can actually see it. I can actually see it when you talk about it.
I suppose I describe it from a few ways. The first one is my background is being an engineer. Right. I studied structural engineering. I learned about how you maintain buildings, how you look after. So I knew a lot about wiring, mechanics, plumbing, heating. I understood all of these things in a practical way. And when I came across the concept of having a teacher, perhaps in another dimension, who could help you out, I thought that was great on two counts. Firstly, because I couldn't find a physical teacher in this dimension who knew the caliber of stuff I wanted to learn about. And secondly, having made that contact, the results were tangible. It worked. So as a practical engineer kind of a person, it's not a case of, what am I going to believe? Should I believe this or that? It was more a case of, well, what works, what doesn't? It was like fixing an automobile. If you know what you're at, you can mend it and make it work. If you don't know what you're at, you probably can't mend it. So I got good information and it did the job. Well, it only seems far out because people don't practice it enough. And I'd also like to say there are so many viewers to this show who are also visitors to this world, and they're driven by the desire to connect to these invisible things, find out what this strange stuff that people called weird and freaky really is. It's like in the old days, they had an expression called alchemy. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, we call it chemistry. In the old days, it was magic if you mixed two ingredients. In these days, chemistry is science. Because we understand the process, and because we understand the process, we can repeat it in very straightforward ways. And by repeating it in a scientific way, we can get very predictable results and use this as a form of internet connection to other worlds. And by this means, we can go and meet our friends on other worlds, go and say hello to them again, see how they're doing.
What David does is he trains you to breathe and breathe all the way down. And really anchor in so that you can leave, which is an interesting that you want to pull yourself completely in so you can pop out. And you're pretty like task. You really kind of ride us about that. It's like, nope, come on. And then you can see what's going on around us. It's like, where did you just go, Carrie? And cause you can read the energies. And so I love that. And if you want to work with him, you can. And I know you guys have had a lot of great success. You do this with other folks and then you come back and you report what you find out in the other dimensions, right?
Yes. Well, not only do that, I get people to do it with me. So we do it together and then we compare what we see. Because if you get two people going somewhere or three people going somewhere, they're always going to pick up a lot more than just one person would. And you can confirm stuff because sometimes when you do this, things can be a bit fuzzy. And what I mean by fuzzy is this. When we're sitting on this call, the picture is really clear. When you start doing a lot of this astral stuff, it's as if you're wearing someone else's really bad glasses and everything's gone a bit out of focus and you're trying to make sense of it at first. And as a result, it takes a while to get that clarity back. And it's often like you're seeing pieces of clarity instead of a very broad picture. So when you're working under those conditions and you're looking at things and at first you're not sure what they are, it makes a lot of sense to practice it with others because you can compare notes and you will know when you get it right because it becomes a lot clearer and it becomes stable and you feel an energetic connection to it. And this is the bit I wanted to get onto right now. This is why people from other worlds in their human bodies are watching these sorts of shows. Because when they hear this thing, they can feel that energetic connection happening to them. Mm-hmm. Even though there is a recording, you'll feel that energetic connection in real time. It's like a knowingness of, yes, you're in the right place. Yes, you're meant to be doing it. And if you breathe a little bit better, like in the moment, you'll feel it even more.
Oh, you bring it in. I think that there is an energetic connection that when you resonate or when you meet something, you're like, oh, I remember that. I know how that feels. Yes. Or it jogs something and for you to actually want to do it. But so this brings in so many questions for me in that, like a higher self, I imagine they're out there, they're somewhere else, they're not really accessible unless they want to be with me. But you're saying that you can actually go in and meet your higher self or spend time with your higher self.
Well, it's good to go and say hello to your higher self because you'll discover a personality that's not really like your earthly version. And a demonstration, a kind of conversation I had with them, which showed what the different objectives are. I was walking home from my office a few weeks back, and I was thinking, in terms of earthly stuff, humans, we want this, we want that. There are lots of bits and pieces like gadgets. People might want another cell phone or something like that. And I was connecting to my higher self, and I was going, what do you want?
What did they say?
And they, it had a simple message. It said, stop walking and energetically connect with the trees you're walking past and ignoring. It's like, stop, just stop now, connect. And it's not, and as it did that, there was a lovely energy. And by connecting into nature and being more grounded and being more stable, with that nice feeling, I was able to see my higher self a bit more. I was able to look back and look at it. And that's one of the things the higher self really enjoys. It's when that human body stops rushing around trying to fix everything and get to wherever it's late and meant to be at. And actually looks back on what's creating it now and again. That's one of its pleasures.
Yeah, that makes sense. When we're not distracted and we can actually tune in.